Before we get started, a special thank you is in order to our friends over at Stanley Customs. Stanley Customs creates amazing custom sports figurines for all you athletes out there. Right now, our listeners will get 15% off their order, and all interviewees will get 25% off their order simply by going to Stanley_Customs on Instagram and telling them that Globally Ballin sent you. Thank you. Hey, everyone, and thank you for joining us, and welcome back to the Globally Ballin podcast. We appreciate your support and have a special interview and episode for you today. So sit back, relax, and enjoy learning about sports and opportunities around the world. Here comes the music. I gotta let you go.
He goes, I'll give you $750,000 a year to sign with us.
Without right even now, showing off.
He goes, don't even walk over to the field.
Because I had no idea that my passport was even expired.
Let me tell you, I sent out 6,000 emails.
Gentlemen, how do you use a celebrity for good? You know, up until that point, most of us, as athletes, were taught how to use the celebrity to manipulate, to get a girl, to get famous, to get whatever it is.
Had a couple guys get robbed at gunpoint, and one of them was just like, Jay, get me out.
Actually broke my neck. I was paralyzed from the waist down, and I was never supposed to walk again, much less be able to play football again.
We're hours away from kind of the nearest hospital. He ended up losing his leg over it.
You finished the game with a broken hand?
Yeah, I finished the game with...
I'm Rio 2016 silver medalist and Asian Games 2018 gold medalist.
I don't think a lot of people know the opportunities there are actually to play overseas, especially in the women's category.
There are some who would still keep their 9-to-5 jobs because the pay for being an athlete isn't enough.
Don't complain when we look like idiots abroad in these big tournaments.
What league or country gave you the best pay contract-wise?
Probably Turkey my last season.
Okay. For this week, we're blessed to have our guest, Oscar Lopez, join us. Oscar is the head of a media outlet entitled Gridiron Beauties. Gridiron Beauties is an outlet that spotlights the best women's tackle football as well as the best women's tackle football athletes around the world, and they break down that whole process and all those opportunities that you can find. In the past, we did an episode and we talked with the owner of the Seattle Spartans of the WFA, Nicole Pelham. And during that interview, which was episode 25, if you want to go back and check that one out, which I highly suggest, we took a more specific look at women's tackle football by specifically looking at the Seattle Spartans and using them as kind of a case study of sorts. For this episode, we've broadened the look of women's tackle football. Oscar Lopez of the Gridiron Beauties is perfect for this. Gridiron Beauties takes a look at all the opportunities in this sport around the world. So after we received great feedback from our previous episode about the Seattle Spartans, we knew that we needed to kind of revisit this idea, but with a broader scope, broader look to it. So again, instead of looking at one team and one league, we're going to be looking at a much broader view of this and look at the women's tackle football movement as a whole. You know, all the teams that we see, all the leagues that we see, the countries in which we see it, and even comparing the opportunities that we see both outdoor versus the indoor game. And it's obviously no secret that football is a massive sport in the U.S. And if you've listened to some of our past episodes, you obviously know that it's bigger in other places than you maybe didn't know about. We've done episodes with professional football in Japan, Austria, Germany, and countless others that have been named. So we obviously know that this sport is huge here and outside of our borders. But the question remains, what about the leagues out there for women? Are there any? And if you don't look carefully, the answer could easily come to you as a no. And that's not accurate at all. We're going to dive in this episode as to what those opportunities look like. Specifically, what do these leagues look like? Are they on the professional scale? Are they not on the professional scale? Is there going to be a professional scale? At what level do they expect to get to this professional scale for certain leagues? What about outside of our borders? Are there professional opportunities? All of those things are important. And so to say that there's no women's tackle football is just not true. So we need to dive into what right now exists. And so this episode will reach a lot of people. There's a big range of people that I highly suggest this episode to. One of which, of course, is anyone interested in women's football, player, somebody who wants to watch, whatever. This is definitely something, if you're like, I've never heard of that, I didn't know anything about it. First of all, go listen to episode 25, then come back and check this one out. But that's definitely somebody that's going to want to listen to this. In addition to that, anybody who's a part of or interested in the development of a league or taking something from a semi-pro stance and moving it into more of a professional spotlight, be it a league or a team, that's something that is not easy to do. We've talked with many people, both on episodes and off episodes, about that process and some of the difficulties that you have making that jump from amateur to maybe to semi-pro to pro. There's so many things that need to be in place, and if you don't calculate those beforehand, it's all going to come crashing down on you. And so this is going to kind of look at those steps of what do we do to get from point A to point B, and maybe from point B to point C, and then where do we go from there? Are we just shooting for point C? Is there a point D? That kind of thing. The long-term plan of a league or a team moving up. And so that's really important. It really is. And it stretches so far outside of the world of women's tackle football. There are teams and leagues all over this country, all over this world, that are considering whether or not they fit in another area. Are they able to make a step up? Maybe it's a team thinking, could we go to the next step? And they got to figure that out. Maybe it's a league going, for the most part, we're amateur, maybe we're semi-pro. Should we make a step up? Could we fit in? Is there a market for us? Can we succeed in the way that we need to make this work? So all of that is kind of the more general look at this. And so if that describes you in any way, this also is going to be very interesting for you. And finally, anybody who hasn't heard of women's tackle football, I desperately encourage you to listen. Because again, the whole mission of Globally Ballin' is promoting leagues, spotlighting teams and opportunities, and telling player stories. So if there's a league that you haven't heard of, you're going to want to listen. Because as a sports fan, as someone who wants to be knowledgeable about the games they enjoy, you really should know about what the actual opportunities are. And so with that, I'm going to leave it, and we're going to go ahead and jump in to our interview with Oscar Lopez of Gridiron Beauties. But before we do that, there's a couple of reminders I got to give you. First, the social media. You can always find Globally Ballin' on facebook.com/globallyballin, Instagram at globallyballinofficial, and Twitter at globallyballin. In addition, you can now find us on Patreon at patreon.com/globallyballin. We have a bunch of stuff on there. For as little as $2 a month, there's platforms for you. We had a request come in, or just a mention, that the music in the background during the interview was kind of throwing them off a little bit, and so they just suggested maybe revisiting that idea. And so we did, and we're like, wow, that's fair, let's check into it. And so we asked some of our other listeners and some other people we know, and then we got one of the worst things that could happen was a mix of answers. And so we didn't really gain any ground whatsoever. So instead, what we did is decide to offer an extra opportunity on Patreon. So if the music really keeps you from focusing, there is an option on Patreon. It's the lowest tier that allows you to get all of our interviews. We call them short and sweet. There's no music. There is no ads. It's just cut and dry the way some of you want. And then for those of you that do kind of enjoy the music, soothing, keeps you kind of locked in the conversation, which we've also heard, those will continue to be as they are. We might experiment with some different music in the background, but just keep in mind, if that's you, if the music really throws you off, there is a platform for it. And of course, let us know that that's you, and we can continue to keep that in mind. So otherwise, enjoy the episode and interview. Thank you. This episode is also brought to you by our friends over at Creating Young Minds. Creating Young Minds is a nonprofit out of Lewisville, Texas, brought to you by Dr. Shira Ackerman and Coach Mathis Crowder. Creating Young Minds strives to bring success to the lives of young men in ways in which they may have not reached that success otherwise. One of the ways in which they do this is through their professional basketball team, the Lewisville Yellow Jackets, who play in TBL, or the Basketball League. Make sure you go check out Creating Young Minds on all major platforms, including Facebook and LinkedIn. I encourage you to dive more into the mission of Creating Young Minds as they strive to bring the European model of basketball to the United States. Thank you.
Hey, Aaron, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Great, how you doing?
Good, thanks for taking some time.
Yeah, no problem.
Hey, so like I mentioned, what we do for our podcast is we... Basically, the only rule is we try to stay away from the big leagues, and we do, like the NFL, NBA, and all that other stuff, because we try to talk with anyone who fits the mold and has a lot of information. Typically, that's players, but it could be coaches, league directors, agents that can help players and fans of maybe a developing market know what's out there instead of them just focusing on, again, those four big leagues, because that's not even close to what's out there, right? And in this case, what we're going to talk about is stuff that isn't even in those four leagues that's rising, right? So to start off, let's have you introduce who you are and what you do.
My name is Oscar Lopez. I am the founder of Gridiron Beauty Social Sites on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, on every platform that you can think of. We bring awareness to the average fan about women that play American football.
Okay, so to start off, what leagues are out there for American football for women?
In the United States, there's various leagues internationally, but in the United States primarily, the two top leagues are the Women's Football Alliance, which has over 60 teams, and it's been established since 2009. Then there's the WNFC, the Women's National Football Conference, which just launched last year. And then you also have two leagues in Canada, and you have a couple leagues in Mexico in the North American swing. And then we would venture out to Europe and then Australia and then in those other areas.
So at least starting off with the North America area, are any of those considered professional?
No league is considered professional in a sense, because it is a pay-to-play league. It is not like your arena football leagues where some of the players get paid. So there is no established professional league per se. It's semi-pro in some instances, based on arrangement with certain teams and players and leagues, but for the most part it is pay-to-play.
What would have prompted another league to emerge when there was such a successful league before that?
The business of women's tackle football has been around for 30 years. Nobody's been able to formulate a way to do a paid model except for like in the late 80s. And so we've gone like 20 some years without that. The only league that is currently in a model that is promised to be a paid to player league model is the WFLA, which apparently it's supposed to launch in 2021. But the other leagues internationally as well as in the States have always been where the player has to pay to play.
So the WFLA, when it launches in 2021, have they already said that they are going to pay? Or
The WFLA has come out and said that they are committed to make this a professional run league where the players will get paid for to play. So that still hasn't been done at this point. They're still in the setup stages. They're still doing combines. They're doing virtual combines, obviously, because of COVID-19. They're supposed to be setting up drafts, formulating ownership, football logistics. But they did announce that they formally do want to kick off their season. Probably going to be an 8 to 10 week season. And that looks like, at this point, based on their announcement, May 5th of 2021 at the LA Coliseum.
Do you foresee them pulling off successful teams from the other two existing leagues, or coming up with their own completely?
They've taken a different approach. Ownership in the WFLA is completely different than what you would see in the traditional women's tackle model for so long. Their approach has been more heavily marketing, a lot of recruitment for athletes, as well as recruiting from the existing leagues. Like I said, we're still in the wait and see functions because of COVID-19. They were supposed to have an exhibition season this coming May, but because of everything that's going on with the virus, everything's been put on hold. They are doing virtual combines. They're going to do physical combines in July in Las Vegas. And at this point, like I said, they're estimated to launch in May of 2021.
As far as the American football played by men, is there any difference in the game being played itself, rules, dimensions of the field, anything specific, or is it the football we're used to as far as those rules?
There are modifications, just like any other sport. It is almost identical to the men, give or take in some rules, the ball, some of the dimensions.
Sure.
Sometimes depending on football fields with, high school and stuff like that. But for the most part, it is a similar to the men. Sometimes it's a running clock, so depending on what's going on. So the rules are altered in some way, but it is still traditional, men's football. The pace of the game, based on what league you're observing, the pace of the game is different because the coaching and everything else is a volunteer state. So not everybody's going to be on the same level in terms of coaching. So you will see, like in the WFA, you will see three different tier systems, and each tier is really a representation of high level of football. So if you go to tier one, your expectation is to see some quality type of football that is maybe equal to like an NCAA Division III, Division II level, where a tier two, similar to that, but tier three is probably more of an introductory type of play. So you're not going to see as well played out playbooks, in other words.
So in order to bring anything professional, there's a lot of ways a league generates money, but far and away the two biggest are ticket sales, assuming they're not getting TV contracts. So ticket sales and sponsorships of some kind. Are those numbers that you're seeing promising for the future for these leagues to bring in that kind of money through those two means?
I think traditionally in the model with women's football, from my perspective and also from my research and following the sport for over 10 years now, the fanfare isn't there for butt seats. It's never there. It is family members, word of mouth, things like that. Social media has really helped in the last 5 to 7 years. Some teams have done a really good job of using like IG or Facebook,
sure,
or even Twitter in a format where it is exposed more in their community and their area. They are promoting. The WNFC probably has done the better job because of the fact that they branched out from a couple teams branched out. Now they have 20 teams established. Their model was not recreational. They decided to go into a business model per se. So they are vetting teams and owners. They're not just going to just accept anybody. The model where they have it is more structured to a real business model with a real business plan. So their goal is to try to get some sort of, modern day monetization, which is mobile applications, hooking up with regional outlets, things like that. They did get a good deal, about 3-year deal with Riddell and Adidas. So that helps them a lot in terms of respectability. So that allows them to be credible in some senses, just like the National Women's Hockey League or the National Women's Soccer League, as an example. Mm-hmm. So they are making inroads in that way. We were anticipating a big season this season in 2020 for both leagues because they did acquire a lot of sponsorships. The WFA was acquiring sponsorships as well because of their alumni players being in the limelight, like Katie Sowers in San Francisco, Jennifer King in Washington, mm-hmm, Sally Branson in Cleveland, Lori Locas, who coached in the league before. So there's a lot of fanfare there that was kind of beneficial to the WFA based on the NFL attachment.
What do you think? Like you said, there, as far as getting people in the seats right now, it's not enough. All right. What is keeping them back? What do you think the biggest reason is that's keeping people out of the seats?
I really think exposure is the one thing that we lack in the sport. We don't have the exposure. We don't have the capabilities of exposure because we don't have the funding for it. I really think the WNFC is one step closer to that. Their model is a 5-year plan, from what I'm told. The 5-year plan is to really get to a 1 or 3 year stable plan where it's noticeable based on branding. Then once the branding is set, obviously those things will come. At this point, it's really... They're trying to stand out on a social media platform with a lot of platforms that will get eyes to them, and hopefully that will draw in fans and then attention. But normally the draw is on a really good team in women's tackle football. If their marketing is really good and they do a real solid job of that, they're going to be drawing about 1,500 to 2,000 fans on a good season, and that's going to, you know, week to week, it's going to obviously deviate, maybe 800 to 12 to 15. But on every good team, at some point, we'll draw about 2,000 fans. So the goal is to try to get to that 7,000 mark, 5 to 7,000 mark. Then at that point, you really have to decrease the number of teams. Like the WFA has 60 teams. The drawback for them is they're not focusing on their major top 10 teams and really driving funds to that in terms of advertising. The WNFC, the model is different because now they did hook up with Riddell and Adidas. So the sponsorship hookup with them obviously requires some sort of payback at this point. So they're more in a tough situation because they have to blossom every year and try to prove to those sponsors that they are worthy of a legit brand of American women's football.
So how does it compare, these outdoor leagues, with what already exists in the indoor football for women?
There is no arena football for women. There is X-League or former Legends Football League, yeah. Or if you go back as far as 2009, Lingerie Football League. The game is different in terms of true American football. It isn't 11 on a side. It is more like 8-on-8, 9-on-9, 7-on-7. So it is modified in some instances. The owner of the X-League or Legends or Lingerie really is a visionary and an entrepreneur in a way where he understood he had to draw in fans in some format. So sexism, as an example, is what he's criticized for. Unfortunately, his mismanagement hasn't evolved the branding to a level where it maybe could have been respectable women's true arena football. There's still an opportunity there for him to do that. I don't know how long it'll take, but there is no real women's, tackle football per se in terms of arena football. It is modified sport. The only two countries that participate in the modified game of, let's say, bikini football, if you want to consider it that, or lingerie football, is Mexico and obviously the X-League in the United States. X-League being the most successful, they do draw an average of about 3,400 to 5,500 fans in each market on a good swing based on what they have in terms of stars. Durability with stars has been one of the issues that they've had in a long time, and they've not been able to sustain that. So a lot of players leave because they get discouraged on all the false promises that this league is going to take off with big sponsorships, like a TV deal and things like that. So it's not, if you compare it to 11-on-11, it's like apples to oranges, basically.
So, but if we'd consider like the IFL Indoor Football League and the NAL National Arena League to be football, just a modified, an indoor modified version right. of it, would you consider that X League to be that same just modified version? I mean, it's still football, but it'd be indoor. Or do you not even consider it? I mean, is it a step different than that?
No,
even?
I think you have to consider it football. That's a reality. It is football. It is a 25-50 yard field. It is. To me, it's just modified. That's a modified sport, no different than flag, as an example. It is in itself, in other words, that's what I'm trying to say. That sport is basically in itself. Just like you're talking about men's arena football, some people wouldn't consider men's arena football like true football.
Okay,
if you compare it to the NFL, it's not true football. It's modified football.
Okay.
It is football, but it is on a different scale, basically, or a different modification.
Right, that's what I was trying to clear up is, would you also consider the IFL and NAL in that same region of modified football? Okay, so that makes sense. Okay,
yep.
So what are some of these big, if you had to pick out some of the highest markets, in different ways. So if we looked at the team that tends to draw in the most people, what market do you think that would be?
For the WFA, historically, the WFA has drawn really good crowds in Boston, the Boston market, New York market, Pittsburgh, D.C., Atlanta, most of the East Coast teams, prior to that, Chicago. There was a lot of teams in those areas on the East Coast swing that are really the heart and soul of the WFA. And then you kind of branch out into the middle of America, which is Dallas and Texas, which is basically football heaven. You would get, Dallas, Houston, and those areas. And then you would go to California next, which is Los Angeles in the lower Los Angeles area. So those are the three areas that the WFA has primarily in its history has been able to draw some good crowds. The East Coast is still king. The rivalry between the Boston Renegades, previously the Boston Militia, the DC Divas, The Pittsburgh Passion versus DC Divas, the New York Sharks against DC Divas as an example, Chicago Force against Boston. Those rivalries have existed in the WFA since 2009. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, some of those teams are no longer with us, like Chicago. But there was an opportunity at some point in the last 3 years where if the WFA really wanted to introduce true women's American football to a small audience, kind of like the National Women's Hockey League did, it could have been on the East Coast.
So if you said exposure was one of the main issues that were keeping people out, possibly. Imagine you're on a massive stage here and you have big ears open listening. What would you tell them as your quick elevator pitch for why they need to not only give it a chance, but go and watch a game? Because we're talking about bringing people in. So what's your elevator pitch to bring them in for one game?
I think the elevator pitch for me would be you just need to come and watch a game and then be entertained. The teams that I would recommend to come watch would be specific teams. I would say you would need to go to Boston in Massachusetts to watch the Renegades, probably the best team in women's tackle football. Then you would go to Dallas to watch the Texas Elite Spartans, and then maybe Utah. You go to those three venues, you're able to see some quality, high-grade women's tackle football that a real fan that expects like maybe college-like type of excitement or even high-level high school excitement. You're able to get that. So the WNFC affords that, the WFA as well in Boston and D.C. And like I said, not every market's going to be a stellar market where you're going to be wowed.
Is there a direct correlation or a really close correlation? I assume it's a close correlation, but was it direct where the best teams are bringing in the best fandom? And what I mean is, are there teams out there that aren't great that still bringing in a strong market just because that market wants to see women's football regardless of how good their team is?
I think the most of the teams in both leagues, like I said, the stronghold would be the East Coast, and that would be the area that if you're going to draw anybody, if you're going to really make a branding, it's going to be the East Coast. In the WNFC side, right now the top five teams in the WNFC are going to be in the Midwest, which is going to be Dallas, Fort Worth, Utah, and maybe the Los Angeles Swing.
All right, anything you think we need to, that you wanted to cover that we didn't get, that I didn't ask or we didn't talk about yet, about either what you do or the leagues or the growth or anything?
I want to just encourage everybody to come to our pages because we are an outlet and we are a voice for women's tackle football. We've been a voice for women's tackle football since 2009. So you can go to the Gridiron Beauties page on Facebook, IG, Twitter. We cover the sport no different than on ESPN or Fox Sports in a serious manner, with serious coverage, with posts from everything. We have the biggest network on the planet that we've built over 10 years. So if you come to our page, you will be aware of women's tackle football front and center. The opportunity is there. The sport is growing. In other words, beyond the borders of the United States, the sport is booming. It is a savage sport for women to want to play this sport. So from Europe to Australia to Central America to South America, the opportunity that is now afforded to women to play American football, women are taking advantage of it, and they're building teams, they're creating leagues, and I think this is a sport just under the radar, and it's about to boom.
So actually, that was something we should talk about, is what are some of the really strong leagues overseas, past the outside of the Americas, and that's, or at least North America?
If you wanted to get real quality football at a high level with an international flair, you would have to go to Sweden and Finland, the two countries that you would have to go to. Some of those leagues do pay players to play. It's an arrangement by the men's team. The men's teams do pay players to play overseas. Some teams in Europe do pay players to play. Sweden and Finland being one of those countries that does in some format pay some women to play on a tier level, higher level, Division One. We don't have that in the States. And that because the arrangement is different than the United States. The other area is Germany doesn't pay the players, but Germany is really prominent there. The UK has exploded lately in the last couple years here. Italy, as well as the Czech Republic. So Europe being really the other standout besides North America.
Nothing in Asia that you know of?
Asia is very, very slow right now. We have nothing in terms of Asia per se. Everything is basically European, and then we would have to go to Australia as the third hotbed internationally. Moving forward at this point, that would be the three areas: the North America swing, the Europe scene, and then Australia.
And for any young women listening that want to play or look into it, is your website the best place to go?
You can come to our website and you'll be made aware of the links to every league, the WNFC, the WFLA, the WFA. All the links are there if you come to our page. We have page likes for those links. We also have posts from the league, so you can just click right on and you can go into, you know, WFA for Women's Football Alliance. You can go to WFAProFootball.com. You can go to WFLAFootball.com, or you can go head out to the WNFCFootball.com. So those are three top leagues in the United States. Like I said, WFLA still to be hit the field and kickoff, but the other two leagues have been around a year, and then the previous league has been around for almost 10 years.
Awesome. I think that's all I needed. If there's anything else you need, you want to say?
No, I think it's thank you for the time and bringing attention to the sport. I really appreciate you making an effort to spotlight some of these amazing women that do play American football. And I welcome everybody, like I said, to our page. They will be enlightened, they will be made aware of, and they will also be surprised of how talented all these women are playing the sport of American football.
Absolutely. We're happy to do it. We'll make sure we point whoever we can over there, okay?
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Enjoy it.
Yeah. See ya. I hope you enjoyed the episode and the interview today. I think it's clear by now that me and the guys here at Globally Ballin' enjoy sports on a wide variety. Very much so. I mean, don't get us wrong. Just because we don't do episodes about the NBA, NFL, NHL, MLS. I missed one. NBA? I forgot which one I missed. Whatever. The big ones, right? Just because we don't focus on that doesn't mean we don't watch it. We do all the time. We enjoy it. But that being said, I'm super psyched that the KBO is on TV right now. I mean, that's awesome. That's so much fun. I'll get up early in the morning to watch PBA games in the AM live here in the United States, the Philippine Basketball Association. And certainly if I have a past guest who's playing somewhere and I can watch it, I'm going to check it out because I think that's so much fun. I love the competition. I love how it varies in different areas. I love hearing about a league that I had no idea existed. We have a couple of episodes lined up in the kind of distant future here that I'm going to bet some of you are going to learn about a league you never knew existed. Not only existed, but existed in the United States. And some of you, it's going to be in your state, has a team that you had no idea about, or even in your city or nearby, very nearby, that you had no idea even had a team in this certain league. And so that's what I like. That's what I like. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, I love watching the big professional leagues. I think that's awesome and it's a lot of fun, but it doesn't stop there. There's so much more out there, including things like this, like women's tackle football. It's all over the country and it's growing and expanding, which is exciting. I love to see that. I hope it continues. But again, another thank you to Oscar Lopez and go check out the work at Gridiron Beauties. Go ahead and check that out, especially if you're interested in playing or giving that a shot. Definitely go check that out. But even for the other people that I mentioned, those that just want to know more about different things in sports, go check out Gridiron Beauties because I'm going to guarantee you they're going to have information that you probably didn't have beforehand about this league, about the leagues and about the opportunities. And those of you that are interested in kind of the success of a professional league from kind of the slow growth way, instead of just jumping all into it, slowly building up that support before you make the plunge into professional, go check out the development of some of these leagues for women's tackle football, because that's a process you're going to be able to witness as it continues to do that. So go check them out on all the platforms that were mentioned by Mr. Lopez, Gridiron Beauties. And as soon as these leagues are back and ready, we're excited. And we've gotten a lot of episodes in since the quarantining started and sports stopped. We cannot wait for this to start up again. But until then, stay safe, stay healthy, and thank you again for tuning in. everybody, thank you again for getting through another episode. We really appreciate it. I just want to quick redirect you to where you can find us one more time to kind of close out this whole episode. You can find us at facebook.com/globallyballin, Twitter @globallyballin, Instagram @globallyballinofficial. The name was taken. And patreon.com/globallyballin. Again, what you can find there is all of these episodes music free, as well as ad free, and a bunch of other tiers that offer you a lot of other stuff. There is a ton of content available for you that you are not getting here that's out there on the Patreon page. So if you want to check that out, that would be great. And then, of course, again, if you like the show, we would really appreciate a rating and a review wherever you listen. I know I normally suggest Apple Podcasts, but if there's a way, you know, if you listen to it somewhere else and there's a way to rate it, that would be great as well. But any of that is very, very helpful and very much appreciated. It does take a lot of work putting these things together and editing them up and making it all mesh together and getting our interviews lined up and all this. So it takes a lot, but we really believe in it, and we encourage you, if you believe in it too, doing one of those things to help us out would be fantastic. Otherwise, simply you listening to our episodes coming out is a huge blessing to us. So thank you very much for supporting the show, and you'll get an episode from us here in the coming days.